Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt and episode 1915, the 15th show, Sunday night podcast of 2019. I hope you guys had a blessed week and a safe weekend. We've got a ton of stuff to cover, and so we're going to just start plowing through it. I'm going to drag you with me. So, first of all, reminder, next weekend is the Northwest Preparedness Expo. Be there if you can. If it's within driving distance, it's going to be worth it. This is going to be some great speakers, a lot of great vendors, and things to help you become more self-reliant and prepared for handling any type of hardship. That's April 13th and 14th. You can check out our website, too, if you scroll down a little ways. There is a posting dedicated to that. And also, don't forget to put on your calendars T-Rex 2019. That's the Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise of 2019. That's going to be in July, the 26th, 27th, and 28th. That's a Friday through Sunday scenario-based disaster grid-down emergency communications exercise. And be checking amron.com for more details. And also, we are going to be reviving the partisan radio podcasts. Those will not be done regularly, but as there's information to put out. So this coming week, be looking for one of those. We'll be linked from amron.com and radiofreeredoubt.com, talking about emergency communications and tradecraft and all that other good stuff that we have put on hold for a couple of years. But we've got that all set up and ready to go. We've got a lot of things, a lot of new developments we want to share with you guys in the interim until we get the new SOI 4.0 produced. So be looking for that podcast this week. That's it. So let's get going. The news is next on Radio Free Redoubt. News and commentary is brought to you by the author of 299 Days, the book series with all 10 audiobooks out. Glenn Tate, who will also be there signing books next weekend. And they've also got the I Miss America 30-round magazines for the 5.56, your AR platforms. They're going to have those available. And it looks like we're going to have the tumblers and maybe the mugs for the Amron logo on there. They look really good. The proofs of them looked really, really good. So I'm looking forward to getting those. Hopefully this week we'll have those with us. All right. First of all, this one is, if there isn't enough in the news cycle already to make your blood boil, In New Hampshire, both the teachers unions have opposed a bill that would make sex with students a crime. You heard that right. I didn't stutter. Yesterday, at a hearing for a bill, HB 5817, that would make sex between school employees and students a crime, even after they've turned 16, the legal age of consent in Rhode Island, both teachers' unions made their objections known. The NEA of Rhode Island didn't have anyone testify, but let me just continue. This is difficult for me because this really, really got me irked. But Pat Crowley did sign into the hearing and note his opposition to the bill. Now, as it stands now, Rhode Island is one of a few states where it's perfectly legal for teachers and other school employees to have sexual relations with their students once they turn 16, which is the legal age of consent. You know why that is? It's because back in the good old days, that's long gone, a 16-year-old could get married, you know, little house in the prairie. They were getting married 15, 16, 17 years old, and this was so that you wouldn't get arrested for having sex with a minor, for having sexual relations with your spouse because you're 18 years old and your wife is 16 and you're starting your homestead. And well, those laws held over. But now the perverts of today and the communists or the commie perverts have taken this so far to they want complete control over your children. And now they want to be able to give themselves the carte blanche to be able to have sex with whoever their perversions lead them to. And they don't want it to be against the law. Man, I'll tell you, I remember this story. It was last year where this pervert had molested a child and then got off. The judge exonerated him or stayed the same. I can't remember what it was. Well, this sexual predator, his head separated from his body, ends up on the front porch of the judge who made the ruling to let the guy go. And I couldn't tell you how happy that made me feel reading that story. You know, if you're in New Hampshire, get your kids out of the public schools. If you're anywhere, get your kids out of the government schools, if it is at all within your power. Oh, we got pretty good schools here. Right. Not buying it. Market Watch. Washington State Senate passes State Bill 5078. Heads up, Washington State and especially Liberty State residents. This, if you don't already have 10,000 reasons to leave Washington State and form Liberty State, here's another one. Now they're going to require presidential tax return disclosures in order to even have your name on the presidential ballot. You get this? The sneaky stuff they're doing. Washington State's one of multiple states pursuing requirements for tax return disclosures. And I've got the bill right here in front of me. There it is. Senators Cooterer, Hunt, Darnielle, Saldana. There's the name. That's the head of the Senate. She's the one that introduced that bill stating that if you made $200 million in global sales, your company, agriculture company, you have to declare all your slaves or indentured servants. That was really a bill. Of course, I get, you know, under $200 million in global sales, you do not have to report your indentured servants or your slaves. So, wow. So here it is, an act relating to requiring disclosure of federal income tax returns of presidential and vice presidential candidates prior to appearing on the ballot and adding a new section to Chapter 29A. Well, we reached out to a constitutional attorney and we got this. Of course, Representative Matt Shea is also a constitutional attorney, but specifically our friend Chris Ann Hall. We presented this with her, and her response was this. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 lists the qualifications of the president. There is nothing on Article 1 or 2 that allows the Congress or the states to create additional qualifications. Boom. This is what you need to be reminding your legislators of, especially if you live in a state where they're trying to require the presidential candidate to disclose his tax forms. Now, I didn't see Washington State jumping through hoops to make sure that the presidential candidate was able to prove his residency as a U.S. citizen when the previous president, who will not be named, was running for president. Oh, they just looked the other way when he refused to produce a birth certificate. The same birth certificate that when produced years later showed through forensic studies multiple layers of alterations. They're saying this document is a fraud. We're not saying that this previous president who will not be named was actually born in Kenya or Hawaii. We're not saying where he was born. We're just saying the document that he's showing as proof that he was a U.S. citizen is a false document. So where's the real one? But see, Washington State and the communists and the perverts look the other way to make sure that he would get in because it made him feel nice and warm and fuzzy, made them feel warm and fuzzy. But when it comes to a president who actually has a pair, who's doing what he promised that he was going to do, despite all of the barriers that they throw in front of him, to restore the United States, in an attempt to restore the United States to its former glory, they want to prevent and block and obstruct this president from seeking re-election by keeping him off the ballots on states with a lot of electoral college votes. So we'll see where that goes. But anyway, thank you for that piece of legislation or constitutional wisdom. And thank you to the legislative assistant who reached out and grabbed that and passed that on to me. So excellent. Really good. It appears that the commie pervert bill in Washington state may be hung up in committee. That's the bill, what they call the comprehensive sex ed bill, where they have to show that they have to explain homosexuality and all other forms of perversion in the classroom as part of sex education, to include a mandate to provide visual aids and demonstration during these sex ed courses. Well, so far it seems like it's hung up in committee. That's another thing that's got people absolutely up in arms, almost literally up in arms. Don't lock and load yet, Patriots. It's we've got some other action items for you. Just hold what you got. All right, now other stuff in the news. Deadly germs lost cures a mysterious infection spanning the globe in a climate of secrecy. Well, I saw this article and I just thought I would cover it just briefly here. Last May, an elderly man was admitted to the Brooklyn branch of Mount Sinai Hospital for abdominal surgery. A blood test revealed he was infected with a newly discovered germ as deadly as it was mysterious. They swiftly isolated him in the intensive care unit. The germ, a fungus called Candida auris, preys on people with weakened immune systems and is quietly spreading across the globe. This is really interesting because they're saying it is resistant against antifungal medications. And it's just that part of that decaying, sin-infested world, we're starting to see stuff that we're not going to be able to combat. They're saying it's so tenacious in part because it's impervious to major antifungal medications, making it a new example of one of the most intractable health threats, the rise of drug-resistant infections. But they're saying after he passed away, everything was positive as showing up for this fungus. The walls, the bed, the doors, the curtains, the phones, the sink, the whiteboard, the poles, the pump, was what the doctor said. The mattress, the bed rails, the canister holes, the window shades, the ceiling, everything in the room showed positive for this fungus, as much as they did everything they could to control it. So this is one of many things that are kind of popping up on the horizon. You know, there's a lot of resources out there. If we see something like this going epidemic, for preppers to have built up for, you know, biohazards, including, what's the word? Keeping yourself away from everyone else. Drawing a blank. I know the word. I've said it a billion times, but isolated, that's not the word. Come on. It'll come to me. I know. I'll get about 10,000 emails with you guys all sending that word into me. Incubation, no. I know you're all screaming it at me. I can hear it. Just scream a little louder into your speaker. I can all hear it. Let's move on. All right. Hungary just finished their new border wall to stop illegal immigration, and it dropped the crossings from 6,000 a day to 40. Now, we're also talking about a country which, by its very constitution, states that it is a Christian nation. And Prime Minister Viktor Orban's pledge to stop illegals from flowing into the country appears to be a spectacular success. You won't hear about this on the slipstream media. Quarantined. Thank you. Somebody yelled loud enough into their speaker. I heard it. Quarantined. My goodness. Okay. Now, this country is actually one of three in Europe What's interesting is that you have a Christian nation building a border, and they're keeping out Muslim invaders from tearing down economically, socially, politically their country. The Al-Hijra, it's like, stops here at the gate. Well, this globalist agenda to tear down the Western nations, we're seeing in the United States, it's not so much Muslims. We're seeing the same tactics, though, of getting thousands and thousands and thousands of third world immigrants, invaders, under the guise of being refugees, absolutely overwhelming our southern borders. It looks identical. You can hold the pictures of Europe being overrun by Muslims and the United States being overrun by South American poor countries, and it looks the same. The whole thing is designed to tear down and remove borders. But not so in the Czech Republic and in Poland and Hungary, but especially Hungary, and they're building a fence. The fence that that President Trump would be pleased with and happy with if he didn't have so many obstructionists and globalists, open borderists, throwing everything in front of him to frustrate the efforts of securing our country, including that general of the Marine Corps who said it's an unacceptable risk to our Marine Corps to put them on the border. They're supposed to be training in some other country, a training exercise, and we'll have to divert money from that training exercise in another country to protect our own country, and that's unacceptable. Wow. I hope that general's gone. I haven't followed up with that, but he needs to be down the road, including anyone who thinks like him. Let's bring it a little closer to home from Redoubt News. If you guys haven't checked out Redoubt News, please do so. They got some great articles over there, but they got one in particular, Rhino Hide. Rhino Hide, it is a new product that's being developed by a North Idaho man, Jason Giddings. He said it's called Rhino Hide, and this new product makes the walls or structures they're filled with impervious to projectiles. He says it'll allow students and teachers to instantly shelter in place, turning your classroom into a safe room while they wait for the police to arrive. It's made out of old tires, reconstituted, remanufactured. They're made of tires. And that's what a lot of military and law enforcement safe houses are made out of, tires and tire-type material. Recycled car tires. And it reduces the cost dramatically. So, really interesting. Go check that out, redoubtnews.com. A couple other articles from Redoubt News. you guys remember the story from Rockland County, New York, mandating that the kids get the measles shots, and they wanted to quarantine any student who does not have the measles shot. Matter of fact, they couldn't even be out in public after a certain date. They couldn't be in the schools. Well, a judge just overturned that. A judge ruled, when was this? On the 27th, so earlier this week. No, here's the update. The update was just a couple of days ago, Friday. A judge ruled on Friday to overturn the executive order that it was enacted on the 27th of March after hearing arguments presented by civil rights lawyer Michael Sussman and attorney Patty Finn on behalf of families holding religious exemptions for their unhealthy, unvaccinated children who were unlawfully quarantined by the directive. Yes, finally, a judge in New Hampshire, we found a judge in New Hampshire with their head on straight. Sussman called the day's action arbitrary and capricious. So it looks like the judge did overturn that county's order. So if that's the case, good on him. Praise God. There's another good article by Brent Regan. Reclaim Idaho knows all about corruption and hypocrisy. That's the title of the article. But this is what I've been talking about. You've got to hold your ground, even in the American Redoubt, where it is free, where our laws reflect that mostly. But the left is on the warpath. And here's a really good example of it. And Brent Regan did a great job of this. The sheer hypocrisy of Luke Mayville's recent op-ed accusing Republicans of corruption with a very subtly titled corruption, corruption, corruption is truly amazing. Now, this Mayville is a New York City Ivy League professor who leads the group Reclaim Idaho. Reclaim Idaho. That's what they're calling it, which was behind the Medicaid expansion initiative on the November 2018 ballot, if you guys don't remember. He's relied on hundreds of thousands of dollars from a corrupt California union. Reclaim Idaho, despite its claims of being a totally grassroots organization, has close financial and ideological ties to a group called the Fairness Project. Whenever you see the fairness, anything, all kinds of red flags should be going up. Or justice. Justice, fairness, sustainable, whatever. You should be going zing with all kinds of red flags flying up and you should get ready to fight. Well, the Fairness Project, which is itself the brainchild of a highly controversial California union, the Oakland-based Services Employees International Union, United, the United Workers West. The Fairness Project has spent at least $16 million and counting on progressive ballot initiatives in California alone, and many other states. So, including here in Idaho, he says. In addition to union dues, the Fairness Project, has received at least $500,000 from a foundation run by left-wing billionaire activist, wait for it, George Soros. Big fat surprise, right? All right, as we close up segment one, the news and commentary segment, it wouldn't be complete without at least one, maybe two articles from rhinopack.org, the rhino hunters of the inland Northwest, calling out leftist Republicans, or those who call themselves Republicans, and the rhinopack.org's tab and drop down up there at the top titled Stark Raving Mad News Stories. Well, I've got a couple here for you. One titled Proper Islamic Wife Beating. No kidding. Sheikh and Imam Abd al-Aziz al-Khazraj al-Nasari has uploaded a video to the Al-Mojtama YouTube channel, which he gives a detailed demonstration and meticulous explanation of precisely how to properly beat your wife. The robed and beturbaned imam made it clear it is totally unnecessary to beat your wife every day. Neither is it necessary to inflict permanent disabling or disfiguring injury, even if she is exceptionally unruly. This is good stuff because I think some guys have been permanently maiming their wives. They need to know there's some limitations here. You know, you don't have to do it every day either. However, haughty females must be made to feel their husband's masculinity and strength, as well as become aware of their own frail femininity. And isn't this bizarre how the leftists, the man-hating, masculine men-hating left, the lesbians, men-hating lesbians, and the soy boys, the guilty, the rot with guilt males in America are trying to keep masculinity down while they are trying to lift up the Muslims and advance the al-Hijra, the cultural jihad and takeover of our culture by Islam. And we have this right here in their face, but they won't look at it. They will just look the other way. So observant Muslim males simply must exercise their authority and discipline uppity and disrespectful wives out of love so that life can move on. Take your beating so we can move on with our lives. So this guy specifically mentioned that leaving the house or tent without permission was one provocation which clearly warranted a beating. He also explained it is in most women's nature to like domineering, authoritative, violent, and powerful husbands. We can read the rest of that story over at Stark Raving Mad under rhinopack.org. But I got one more for you. Crime no longer crime. This is from Boston, Massachusetts. George Soros, boy, his name comes up a lot. George Soros financed District Attorney Rachel Rollins has announced a quote unquote no prosecute list. In other words, a list of former crimes that will no longer be prosecuted, essentially making them legal. The list of former crimes includes shoplifting, malicious destruction of property, receiving stolen property, and resisting arrest. Rollins also directed law enforcement officials to cease cooperating with ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, regardless of the severity of the illegal alien's crime. Are you getting this? Rollins feels people of color are disproportionately targeted and penalized by the Western criminal justice system, and the refusal to prosecute will create greater equality. Of course. Billionaire George Soros has embarked on a crusade to undermine Western civilization. One of the means to accomplish this is by destroying the rule of law. Soros, in concentrating on the election of prosecuting attorneys, because these lightly contested, easily purchased positions have an inordinate influence on the stability of Western society. Rollins' election campaign was the recipient of massive amounts of Soros money, as was the campaign of prosecuting attorney Kim Fox, who dropped all charges against hate hoaxer Jesse Smollett. Soros' investments are paying handsome dividends. All right, now up next, 90 seconds to 2 minutes of anywhere between 90 seconds to 2 minutes of the top story this week from Alerts USA, their weekly summary intelligence briefing. Of course, right after the end of the show, you'll be able to listen to the full length. It's a little over 5 minutes. We'll be playing that for you right at the end of tonight's show. But I'd like to shorten it down here just so we can get through and on to segment two, but just give you a little taste about what was involved in the, it's a podcast version, actually, the audio of the threat journal from USA. Did I say? Yeah. Alerts USA. So anyway, that, and when we come back with segment two, we're going to talk about some stuff that I was looking for last week. Oh, I want to share with you a new podcast that's coming out. Really interesting. It's not Christian, but still, thought-provoking nonetheless, dystopian radio theater, which you guys know that I love. So stay right there. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, April 6th, 2019. This week in security news. On four occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via SMS messages to their mobile devices regarding safety and security matters, most important for this update. On Tuesday, Alert USA subscribers were notified of an announcement by the British Transport Police of the discovery of two quote-unquote devices installed on railway tracks near Yaxley, Cambridgeshire, and Netherfield, Nottinghamshire, in what was described as a quote serious and deliberate attempt by someone to cause significant sabotage and disruption to Britain's rail network. The announcement added that they believe the attempted sabotage was related to Britain's exit from the European Union. Later in the day, a Transport Police spokeswoman revealed the homemade devices left on the rail lines were designed to short-circuit the electrical supply. Attached to each device was a note stating, quote, government betrayal. Leave means leave. We will bring this country to its knees if we don't leave. While both devices failed to operate, British law enforcement sources tell Alert USA that this particular incident is a harbinger and brings front and center a number of very real dangers associated with Britain's efforts to remove themselves from the European Union. The first is the ongoing efforts of UK and EU power brokers, members of British government, and the British media to overturn the will of the people and keep the UK in the EU. Despite the fact that 51.9% of the public voted to leave, efforts have been underway to hold a second referendum to try and flip the outcome. This is a source of significant anger within the British public, as evidenced by the attempt to sabotage the rail network. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, April 6th, 2019.
This is segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt, and segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, just like you, get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. If that's where you are looking to go, check them out. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. And I haven't mentioned, I haven't mentioned for a while. Our web host company does such an amazing job looking out for us and helping us manage those websites. If you guys have a business or any type of website need where you have a website that you need hosted, a Patriot-owned business, they are located in the American Redoubt, in the heart of the American Redoubt. That's TLC Web Hosting. TLC, as in like tender loving care. TLCwebhosting.com. And tell them that John Jacob sent you. These guys have really helped us out. I know the SSL certificates and things like that can be kind of confusing, and getting over those hurdles, they know how to walk you through it. And they also will make sure that your website is taken care of, that is protected, and their customer service has just always been excellent. So I thought I'd throw that out there too. It's just been too long since I mentioned those guys. And so, hey, thank you guys for taking such good care of us. Oh, I want to remind you also of the Northwest Preparedness Expo, which is next week. And I've got the flyer right here in front of me, so I'm going to go over some of these details with you. If you're not already familiar, it's in Prosser, Liberty. It's right between the Tri-Cities and Yakima, which is known as the Lower Valley. It's a beautiful place with rolling hills of orchards and vineyards, and it's just a really neat place. And, High Plains Desert, but, this time of year especially, it's unseasonably warm compared to where most of us are coming from. So when you go to the Lower Valley, it's just, feels nice and warm. If you go to you can actually get this flyer when you go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, scroll down. Four or five articles, postings now, and the Northwest Preparedness Expo posting is right there. But Patrice Lewis of Rural Revolution will be there. She's great, real popular prepper gardening, self-reliant living. She's got a really popular blog. Also, Brian Domke of Strategic Landscape Design, who are the sponsors of Segment 3 tonight. They're going to be there, and they're extremely knowledgeable. Helping you to create, a prepared property with, water, procuring water, with defensibility, with food and sustainability. Just really great, great folks. Concealed Carry from Survival Mindset, Carrie Dudendorfer. And, of course, I'll be there speaking. Representative Matt Shea will be there. Shelby Gallagher, Glenn Tate. So lots of good stuff. But you can go to Northwest or NWPreparednessExpo.us. All right. Now, there's a podcast that a listener sent to me saying, man, you got to check this out. This is great. And it's called Blackout, the podcast, Blackout. And I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts. I just don't have time. I'm just extremely busy. And I don't listen to a lot of, I do listen to audiobooks, but mostly I try to read audiobooks. But you know what I really like is radio theater. That's why I play a lot of the old time radio. It's a way you just kick back, close your eyes, and just listen to this radio theater, just like how they used to do in the 30s and 40s and the 20s. And they, before TV, the families after dinner would gather around the radio and they'd have their, favorite drama or comedy, different radio shows come on. And it was really a neat thing. So I appreciate that and the sound effects and things like that. But this is something I was kind of dreamed of doing, having some type of radio theater, based on Radio Free Redoubt, American Redoubt, the Second Civil War, whatever, some dystopian type of scenario. But these folks did it, and they have the expertise, the production, absolute expertise. And it's called Blackout. Now, warning. It is not a Christian dystopian story like a lot of them that are out there. There's a lot of language. When you're reading, in places, there's a lot of language so far. They just started in March. And it's extremely well done from a technical perspective. And some of the storylines, like some of the kids, well, actually, you know what? Let me play for you the trailer. So you'll get a taste of how good the audio quality is with this, just from the trailer. That's just a little teaser trailer. And then I'll play you just a few minutes of their very first episode, which came out just a few weeks ago. They've only have four out. They're coming out, I think, with one a week. And their debut release was March 14th, 15th. So it's just brand new. It just came out. But this is the trailer from Blackout.
Dead air. Yeah, that's the first thing you learn to avoid in radio. Really creeps people out. And don't get me wrong, people in the North Country, they love quiet. But there's quiet and there's silence.
Hey! Who is there? Hey, stop! Stop!
I've gone through it in my head so many times since. He was wearing all black, I remember that. When I replay that morning, I can't help but ask myself, how the hell didn't I see it, right? It was right there in front of my face.
We are now getting some breaking news here out of Washington. We're learning that this does appear to be a major situation with national security implications. I'm being told that the president is moments away from addressing the nation from the White House.
Funny thing about silence, though, if you sit with it long enough, you might hear something that was there all along.
Blackout, a podcast starring Rami Malek, coming March 19th.
Blackout is a suspense-filled thriller from Endeavor Audio and Q-Code. Starring and executive produced by Academy Award winner Rami Malek, you can listen to the first two episodes on March 19th. Find them by visiting EndeavorAudio.com, subscribing for free on Apple Podcasts, or searching for Blackout Podcast.
Now, that'll get your attention, won't it? Pretty cool. Really good quality. I mean, as far as production goes. But I'm going to play for you from the pilot, which actually includes a pilot, who is not a main character, but it's just a cool opening. The pilot doesn't really last that long, but it's a really thought-provoking. So far, I like it, except they got to put the language in there. And they've got these, New Europe type of, Massachusetts accents with, especially the group, like there's the four teenagers that are all about ready to head out before the blackout hits. They're going to go on this weekend of drinking and debauchery and sex and everything else. So there's, these two boys, two girls, and they're going on a road trip together. And, they got the, what's wrong with the car, man? Get back into car. And I just the group that you just hope gets eaten first by the monster, Well, actually, it turns out kind of cool. But anyway, for the most part, this is really cool. The language, just, when you're reading, you can just skip over it. But when you're listening to it, it's just a lot more, almost more violating. So, but, we've watch the Going Home series, and so if you just overlook some of that stuff and really take the storyline, then there's your fair warning. All right, I can handle it, but I wish it wasn't there, but it's their big deal. It's their project. It wasn't mine, so I'm hopeful about where this story ends up going. It looks like it's going to go pretty deep into some real survival dystopian type of moral dilemmas and things like that. The guy starts off being anti-gun, and his wife's got a gun her dad gave her, and he's shocked. We always agreed we'd never have guns in the house. You know, it's the guys. The girl's got the gun, and, you know, the guy's all freaked out. But he comes around. So I think it's going to be kind of cool to watch the evolution as far as people thinking, being snapped into a new reality. But anyway, I'm just going to play you just the first few minutes of the pilot from this, and we'll link it in the highlights and resources posting, or you can just do an internet search on for it on your own. Just look for Blackout the podcast. But I mean, we'll be playing these all the time or anything like that for, you know, copyright reasons, but I thought I'd share it with you. Thank you to the listener who sent this along. I think this show is going to have some promise. So with that, I'll turn this just first few minutes of episode 101, the pilot, and then we'll come back with segment 3.
Inspector 12, maintain at 6400.
Copy that.
Inspector 12, what's your RPM?
RPM 64. I have a visual of the White Mountains now. I'm going to start to maneuver in.
Copy. RPM 94. Should be some nice fall for you found down there. Inspector 12, you're about 4 minutes from the border.
I have no interest in going to Canada. Just, one last sweep here.
Inspector 12, what is your altitude?
I'm on the 340 radio. The terrain is mountainous. Lifting to 13,000. Don't see anything out of the ordinary here. Now wait a second.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to circle back. This is not safe territory. The territory is not safe.
Inspector 12, is the fuel
engine. Big friend, I'm gonna change frequencies here.
Roger.
I don't have any power on the rest of the panel here. The panel is down.
Inspector 12, what is your position?
No, the panel's down here.
What is your position?
Yeah, I should be burning pretty steady here, but it says that I'm actually... I don't have... Shit, what's going on here? Something's wrong here. Something's very wrong here. Can't be right. Okay, I'm holding steady. Bigfoot, do you copy? I have no power. No power. I'm gliding here. There's a mountain up ahead, and I'm gliding here. I can't throw my air flaps down. Hey, I can't. Mayday. Mayday, mayday. I'm going down.
My name is Simon Atani. I'm 39 years old, and I'm currently, I don't know where I am exactly. It's somewhere on the border between New Hampshire and Massachusetts, I think. It's 103 days since the blackout began, and like everyone else, I guess I'm just looking for signs of life. I'm not sure if anyone will ever hear this, but I guess I feel like I should document what has happened here these past few months. That way, if someone does get a hold of this recording, you'll know the truth, and you can act accordingly. My family and I, we come from a small little town in New Hampshire, northern New Hampshire. It's not far from the Canadian border. You've never heard of this place, I promise you. It's called Berlin, and yeah, that's how you pronounce it. Pretty much everyone in town used to work at the paper mill, but that was shut down years ago. As for me, I still am, actually, an aspiring author, emphasis on the aspiring part, because my real job was as a radio DJ at 87.6 The Moose. That's the North Country's only independent rock.
That was the latest track from the Danish dream pop band Von House off their self-titled debut EP.
87.6 The Moon.
I hope you enjoyed this edition of Morning Buzz Berlin here on 87.6 The Moose. I know I did. I am, as always, your humble DJ, Simon Itani. Enjoy the rest of your morning, North Country boys and girls. I'm off to Madeline's General Store for a very well-deserved cup of coffee. Maybe I'll see you around town. Until next time, all right? And look out for each other.
Simon.
Good morning, Madeline.
Hello, Liberty State supporters. I am in the unique position of being able to filter through thousands of your emails in response to all the mortifying bills being passed in Olympia right now. I understand the anger in your phone calls and your emails, and I know that most of you are worried about being forced into taking drastic measures in response to these mortifying and unconstitutional bills they are passing. However, this is not the time to take any drastic measures. You're fed up, and we understand. Instead, put all that energy into making Liberty State a reality. What does that mean? That means join the effort that is already looking good. We have 12 legislative reps on board, plus sheriffs and commissioners who are already drawing their lines in the sand against Olympia. This is encouraging progress. Liberty State is now in the beginning of stage two, where we ask all the county group volunteers to start bringing their elected officials on board to join their monthly Liberty State support meetings. We need you. Boy, do we understand your anger, and we're right there with you. But we need and want your anger channeled in the right direction, right alongside us. We need your fed up. We need your sick and tired of all their garbage type of responses. We need all of that to make this happen. So if you're angry, fantastic. Join us. If you're done with Olympia, join us. If you're done with all their illegal regulating and endless garbage while wiping out all our votes on every issue, join us. We need you. Come just as you are. We are Liberty State, and we are taking back our power of the vote. Join us and let's do this together. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
This is segment three at Radio Free Redoubt, and segment three is brought to you by you know who's coming up. Strategic Landscape Design, mentioned them in the last show. They're going to be at the in the last episode. They're going to be at the Northwest Preparedness Expo this coming weekend. Look forward to seeing them. But they have the designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive. And don't forget, they now offer remote consulting services so that they can assist you anywhere in the United States with the planning on your property in a way that integrates really key elements: water, food, energy, and security. Those remote consulting services provide a lower cost option by using a combination of they use online data and information provided by you, the landowner, to help develop professional recommendations and design solutions that are really customized for your specific needs. All right, now, yesterday on KTW, I was doing the show. I forgot, I couldn't think of the name of the video. And thank you to the listener who helped track that down. It was the Islam video that I was looking for about the what Islam is not. It is really a I'll put this link here, this YouTube link as well. But it's really defines what Islam is. And so I read part of the transcript from that video, but and you know, it's the young gal, she sounds like she has a Middle Eastern accent going through the whole list. Well, I found that transcript and I read that yesterday, but there's another portion of it that's really good that I didn't have in that transcript. But it really talks about how the what is it, the Hajj, the book, the Hajj is really has the Islamists at war against everyone, their own household and their own neighborhood and their own town and their own people, their own clan, and then against, you know, combining, you know, against the whole world. And it's really telling about their mindset. But anyway, I'll just let you listen to this little piece that so you know what I'm talking about.
A quote from the book The Hajj by Leon Uris. Before I was 9, I had learned the basic canon of Arab life. It was me against my brother. Me and my brother against our father. My family against my cousins and the clan. The clan against the tribe. The tribe against the world. And all of us against the infidel. It is important to understand that in some countries with well under 100% Muslim populations, such as France, the minority Muslim populations live in ghettos within which they are 100% Muslim and within which they live by Sharia law. The national police do not even enter these ghettos. There are no national courts, nor schools, nor non-Muslim religious facilities. In such situations, Muslims do not integrate into the community at large. The children attend madrasas. They learn only the Quran. To even associate with an infidel is a crime punishable by death. Therefore, in some areas of certain nations, Muslim imams and extremists exercise more power than the national average would indicate.
Yeah, so a lot of really good information, a lot of statistics in there. It's, you know, it's really, really an eye opener. Now, I want to shift gears here and I want to talk about something that ties into a Bible study that I've been doing. And I was listening to a teaching on an audio, sermon audio, and it was about Habakkuk. And I can really relate to this prophet in the because of the concerns that he had and the pleas that he was making with God. And, you know, I'm trying to look, you know, I'm trying to have a biblical worldview here of the things that are going on, because I'm going to just dive in right now to south of the border to Venezuela. The Venezuela threat. And I'll bring this around full circle here in the next segment, or by the end of this segment or the next one, so you understand what I'm talking about. But there's an article here from the Washington Examiner. It talks about the defense national security, U.S. military intervention on the table for Venezuela. Now, this is like the perfect storm brewing, because now we have Russian troops on the ground in Venezuela, which is falling apart at the seams. You have a communist, socialist, communist dictator, essentially, who's seizing power. You have Russia and now China just flew a plane in with supposedly troops and humanitarian aid. And with interests, economic interests in Venezuela. And this is a very interesting strategic move by several world powers. And it's happening south of our border where, you know, as you know, we're vulnerable. But I'm going to go to this article. A military intervention to oust Venezuela's strongman Nicolas Maduro remains a very serious option for the United States, according to President Trump's national security team. And they're quoted as saying, obviously, that's a result that no one would like to see, but clearly one that is seriously considered as events unfold, a senior administration official told reporters Friday evening. President Trump's team has wielded that threat to deter any attack by Maduro loyalists on Juan Guaido, the opposition lawmaker, whom the U.S. and other Western democracies recognized as Venezuela's legitimate interim president in January. Maduro has defied that pressure by retaining control of the military and loyalty to the colectivos, the paramilitary gangs that blocked U.S. delivery of human aid to the country in February. They're saying, we hope that the military will uphold its constitutional duty to protect the Venezuelan people from these illegal terrorist groups known as the colectivos,
which Maduro is increasingly dependent on. This is a pattern we've seen in communist revolutionary-type takeovers before, any type of oppressive regime. They will use street thugs. I mean, the Nazis did it. And now we're seeing, even today, in today's headlines, we're seeing it. There's an article in Newsweek. Venezuela says more Russian troops may arrive to face U.S. as Syria offers support. See all these little pieces lining up? Venezuela has said that more Russian military personnel may arrive to support the Latin American country, where the U.S. has sought to oust the socialist-led government. Commenting on the presence of up to 100 Russian military personnel who arrived in Caracas last month amid threats of U.S. intervention, Venezuelan Deputy Foreign Minister Ivan Gil told Russia's Interfax news agency just this Thursday that the group of military specialists is within our agreements and contracts with the socialist government on military technical cooperation. He said they would remain there as long as necessary. Don't forget, within those agreements, it also include maintenance of S-300 surface-to-air systems sold by Moscow to Caracas under the late Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. They have a military investment there, surface-to-air missiles. The Russians are now there as technical advisors helping them. So check this out. Russia, Syria, and Iran are among the nations still recognizing Maduro as head of state. Remember, this is while the Trump administration is saying they are not removing military options off the table, if necessary, to protect Guaido, or possibly even oust Maduro. Now, they have been joined, Russia, Syria, and Iran, have been joined by Belarus, Bolivia, Cambodia, China, Cuba, Lebanon, El Salvador, and Mexico, Nicaragua, North Korea, the Palestinian National Authority, Turkey, Serbia, South Africa, and Uruguay, among others. All of these people are aligning together, the formation of a super alliance, could be a super army, is forming. Now, backing Guaido are dozens of other nations. This is like a new axis and allied powers forming. Now, those backing Guaido were the United States, Albania, Australia, Georgia, Israel, Japan, South Korea, and Ukraine, as well as the European Union and most of Latin America. So things could get really, really dicey there, especially as they're actually injecting military assets onto the ground, which is making Colombia and several other South American countries extremely nervous. They're saying, you have no business belonging here. You need to leave. You're on our borders. This is a threat. Now, and Global Research now just came out with this story a few days ago. China's PLA troops in Venezuela is a game changer. Now, China with troops. The reported arrival of Chinese military personnel in Venezuela last weekend is undoubtedly a major event in world politics. Unlike Russia, which has a history of force projection abroad, this is an extremely rare Chinese move, although vital Chinese interests are at stake in the war against terrorist groups in Afghanistan and Syria, China refrained from publicizing any such deployment. Now, the reports mention that the group of Chinese military personnel is 120 strong and arrived on the Margarita Island in the Caribbean Sea off the Venezuelan mainland on March 28th to deliver humanitarian aid and military supplies to the government forces. Now, after they delivered the humanitarian supplies, the Chinese PLA troops were apparently transferred to a Venezuelan military facility. Now, this article also goes on to point out that according to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, Venezuela imported $349 million worth of arms from China between 2010 and 2014 alone. initially with less sophisticated equipment, such as radars and aircraft, to train pilots. They reinforced vehicles and replacement parts. But military goods that arrived in 2017, including armored tanks, ammunition, uniforms, and infantry equipment, as well as replacement and service parts for Russian-made pieces. So, there's definitely a military interest here as well. China loaned Venezuela about $62 billion, which Caracas could repay with oil. Then the last several years, the Russians gave Venezuela $17 billion in loans and investment. And in December, the two governments signed a new deal in which Russia will invest $6 billion in Venezuela's oil and gold sectors. You think there's something worth fighting over here? Is there something, especially with China, in the same sandbox with Russia? There's a lot of people that are into prophecy that are saying, hey, this is something we'll see an alliance of sorts with Russia and China. And the United States isn't mentioned anywhere in Revelation. It like somehow goes away, or it's rendered impotent or ineffective or essentially not anything worth mentioning as far as being a superpower. Today we're a superpower. So this brings me to what I want to talk about in segment four, and a hope for the remnant and God's grace, his mercy on his remnant. If this is the way things are going, I don't know. But I have some of the same concerns that this prophet Habakkuk had 2600 years ago. And it's the same thing that we have today. It's like his complaints to God about his culture and the way they were turning against him are the same things that we're saying to God. How can you just let this continue on? Why are the good, righteous people being oppressed and the bad and the evil people just keep prospering? Why are you not doing something about this? Well, be careful what you ask for, because that was God's response. I am doing something and you aren't going to like it. So we'll talk about that when we come back in segment four at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. We're back with the fourth and final segment. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. That's Works LLC, actually. Their website is works.com. That's W-E-R-K-Z with a Z like Zulu. And they make custom-made Kydex holsters and magazine carriers right here in the American Redoubt. A lifetime guarantee on all their products. And they've got the line of holsters that you can choose to have the Liberty State flag or the Liberty State seal put on that. And they donate proceeds from those sales, the Liberty State line, to help support Liberty State. Check them out. Works Holsters, or works.com, rather. Okay, now, this is really interesting, because this Bible study that I was listening to a teaching on and then reading in Habakkuk, which was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, about, I don't know, 2600 years ago, he's crying out to God. He's crying out to God. He complains about the violence and the oppression taking place in Judah, in Israel, in Judah, actually, at that time, Jerusalem. Now, the Chaldeans, also sometimes referred to as Babylonians, Now, let me just back up a little bit. So what he's basically asking God, and some, because we ask God the same thing sometimes today when we see the violence, the injustice, just the evil continuing to steamroll over righteous people. And we ask, why? How could he just stand by and let this happen? So he asked God two questions. Why would you allow so much corruption to continue in the land of Judah for so long without being punished? We've often said this. When we reject God, we're asking for his judgment. We're asking for the hammer to fall on us. So please repent, right? Please, nation, repent, turn back to your roots. Let us be blessed again by God. We're blessed now, but it's all, we feel like it's coming to a screeching halt, that God can only put up with so much. So God told Habakkuk that he was going to do something spectacular. And so while Habakkuk is asking God, why, how can you let all this go on, this rebellion against you? God said, I am doing something. Look around the world. Now, we can look around the world today, and as this pastor pointed out in this sermon that I was listening to, there's never been more Christians in the world than today. The gospel is being spread. You look at the southern hemisphere, it is growing like crazy. Miracles are happening. Huge revivals are happening in Africa and South America and Asia, and people are they're operating oftentimes illegally, underground churches. They're smuggling in Bibles. They're having huge baptisms. And their faith is so real, so powerful, and so prolific. It's spreading, and the oppressors can't contain it. But here where we got it good, we see this evil just rising up and rising up. And we got this apathetic church that just, meh, right? They're talking about love and accepting, and to make sure we're not being appearing to be judgmental or whatever they're trying to do, while our nation is just, our culture is crumbling in the Western culture, Europe and the United States and Canada, Australia, okay, the West. So how can he put up with this? Well, he said, I am doing something. He said, he's raising up an army to come against Judah, God's own people. So he was raising up the cruel, and I'm reading this from this. I will put this. This is from Bible. Where's my link to this? I'll get the link for you guys, and I'll share it with you, so you can go and you can read this on your own. I forgot to put the link in here for the actual source that I'm reading from you to you from. God told Habakkuk that he was going to do something spectacular. He was raising up the cruel and violent Babylonians, which is actually, they were Chaldeans. But there's that same area, Babylon, what we know is Babylon, but these specifically were Chaldeans, to come and crush the land of Judah. Why would a holy God allow such a wicked people as the Babylonians, Chaldeans, to come and ravage the land of Judah, whom he loves? God told Habakkuk that the Babylonians are fearless and determined, and they scoff at kings. They would become his instrument, God's instrument of judgment, because of the land of Judah's wickedness, for they had forsaken God. But the mighty Babylonians would have a day of judgment coming upon themselves as well. And I've talked about this before. We face judgment, and God could use another foe, military, economic, another nation hostile to us to judge us, and then they get their comeuppance. Because this is what we've seen happen multiple times over, how God dealt with his people when they rebelled against him. Well, in the United States, which has clearly been built on Christian principles and a foundation by godly people, has rejected God. We've turned against God. So how can he let it keep going? Maybe he's not. Look to the south. Habakkuk also gave hope to God's people of a future glory where the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the sea. So I've got a couple resources here. I want to encourage you guys to go in and read, especially if you've got a study Bible, as you go through and read Habakkuk. Read the first couple of chapters at least this week. And read in your Bible commentary, if you have a study Bible, go online and look up some articles and, or listen to some sermons about Habakkuk. He's asking God the same questions. Why? How can you let this go on? How can you let this go on? And God says, look over there. The Chaldeans, they're evil, vile people. They are the worst of the worst. And they are strengthening and they're coming. So when we look to the south, we see Russia. We see China. We see communist backcountries and Islamic backcountries. See that green-red alliance? Look at all the countries that I just listed that are backing Maduro, the communist, where China has troops and now Russia has troops south of us in Venezuela. And look at the number of countries backing the communist. They are Islamic and they are countries still with very either communist now or very strong communist roots and ties. That green, red, the Islamic communist alliance. And that is forming right now, south of us. That could be the Chaldeans of our time that are God's judgment that he is putting in position right now and preparing right now. So this is what I want to leave you with. This is my hope, patriots. We know this nation and the Western nations are deserving of his judgment. We see judgment happening in Europe right now, just like how God dealt with his people in the Bible. What? 2% of the people in Europe now are true Christians. What used to be Christian, Europe was Christian. Christian meant Europe. Europe meant Christian. Now only in pockets. In the European redoubt, which we also know as Hungary. And then we also see the Czech Republic, the Ukraine. We see the Poland also holding true to their heritage and really clinging to their Christian roots and leaning toward that. But for the most part, we're seeing judgment. We're seeing them being turned over to invaders, people not of your land, who will occupy your land. They will occupy your homes. They will eat your fields. They will take your women. Okay, so now in the United States, we're like, whoa, how can we keep prospering when we see how much we have turned, and look at the headlines, we have turned our backs against God. So I ask God, how can you keep letting this go? Well, maybe he's not. Maybe what's forming south of us is the Chaldeans. So my hope is this. God has a long-standing history of protecting his remnant to make sure that his remnant survives. Now, maybe in the American redoubt, where it is strongly Christian and conservative, where the numbers keep building and building, and people feel something inside of them at the soul level, they're like, we've got to move. I don't know why, but I know we've got to move. And the wife goes, you too, you got the same thing? And people, there's definitely something supernatural that's stirring the Christian patriots that are driving them to conservative pockets, not just the American redoubt, parts of Texas and even in like the Adirondacks or the Appalachians or wherever, but they're moving to strongholds. People are moving from Western Washington over to the east side of the mountains into Liberty State. Maybe God will honor that if we stand firm for him and honor him and pray for his mercy, he will protect us from this. What could be, maybe, I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I don't want to be a prophet. Prophets always have a way of ending up dead or something bad or something. But I can see the writing on the wall and I could look at scripture and I can lay it over top of where we are today in the culture today. And I can look back and see the pattern of how God dealt with his people when they rebelled against him. And I know there's a lot of good, righteous, God-fearing people today. We might need to all collect together, because remember when Israel and Judah split off? And Israel continued worshiping false idols and all kinds of other evil wickedness. And God turned them over to their enemies, to their invaders at that time, the Babylonians, who took them into captivity. And Judah continued on because they were not as far gone as Israel. God was giving them another chance to, you know, they were still holding fast. for the most part. But then in a generation, they started going off the rails too. And the Babylonians came and took them captive. So could it be possible the God-fearing people could gather, the Lord would spare from the Chaldeans of our time for the judgment that we are so deserving of and overdue for? Anyway, that just jumped out at me in my Bible study, and it just really kind of laid on top of me, and I wanted to share that with you guys for you to pray about and study on your own. Tell me what you think. Pray about it. It seems like we all are feeling this tugging, this pulling, this under the surface unsettling feeling about what's going on around us. And it's just like you can tell something is bending and bending and bending, and something's going to snap at some point, right? So we keep the faith. That's what we do. And then we just trust in Him. And we don't have to worry about a thing. This isn't about worrying. This is about putting things in their proper perspective and trusting in Him and hoping and praying for His mercy over us. And He's sovereign, and we don't have to worry about anything else. We just have to take care of our own families. We have to stand against oppression and evil. We have to remain righteous and repent when we don't, and keep our eyes on Him and buy another case of ammo while you're at it. And, do a little bit of training and re-inventory your stuff to make sure that you can withstand the storm, so you can bless others, so that we can rebuild and hold what we got on the other side. Okay, that's all I got, guys. You have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.